through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim Bat, how you going?
I'm good. I'm grateful to be in here. Oh, I don't know if people keep talking about it, but it is phenomenally difficult to gain entry to the BFM office at the moment.
It's quite a sort of labyrinth to get up here right now. Construction labyrinth.
You got construction
workers
everywhere.
You get to go
everywhere.
Somewhere you've never been before, and isn't that exciting?
It's very exciting.
A detour through sea space. Rock and roll.
Sea space. Sea space. Is that
cultural
what I went
space.
Through?
Cultural space.
True. Aren't we all going through cultural space, if you think about
no.
it, my bro?
As soon as that came out of my mouth, I was like, where's this going to go?
No, hey, we're good.
What are we talking about today? What's happening in the old media sphere?
Radio New Zealand starting a youth station.
What?
For
what?
The youth.
What? For the youth?
Yeah.
The youth? Youth with an F?
Youth with an F.
Youth with an F.
So what's like down with the kids?
Peace sign.
I want to hear more about this. Like, what are the rules and regulations around it? Only youth can listen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If you're not a youth, you can bugger off.
They've bought a technology off the Americans where they can detect if you are over the age of 26, yeah. and they will come around to your house and break your radio.
Like, what's the opposite of R18?
Yeah, exactly.
U18?
Youth,
I don't know.
Youth FM.
Youth FM.
So this has barely been officially announced, but there has been a job advertisement for the program
yes.
director role, which is the person who's in charge of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And they've billed it as a once in a lifetime opportunity for someone. It sounds like it's going to be a music station. And there's also rumours swirling around that it may take the frequencies that Radio New Zealand currently use for RNZ Concert, which is where the classical music plays.
Aww.
Some people are not happy. And those people are not the youth.
I feel like that's got a real special place.
Is
I'm
this
with
like,
you,
are they trying to start? I actually agree. I think Concert FM, well, what's its real name? Radio RNZ.
RNZ Concert
is actually great. I sometimes flick onto that if I, you know, especially when I was studying at uni, it's a good sort of backdrop for that.
Yeah, I think my dad loves it.
So maybe it is for the youth. Maybe that is. I can't stop saying youth with an F now. It's a bit
sorry,
weird.
I've planted
it's
that
gonna
into
be
your head.
Stuck in my brain.
But it will be interesting, especially with all the moving and shaking that's happening.
Yeah.
So this is against a backdrop of Radio New Zealand and TVNZ still probably definitely merging, but the government hasn't made any further announcements after Chris Farfoy promised that we'd know something before last Christmas.
Well, look, we're creeping into February.
I know. Last Christmas he gave me his heart, and then... The very next night, this wrong George
the very
Michael
next
song.
Month,
yeah,
it was still not resolved.
I'm not
exactly.
sure that fits in quite right.
No, maybe not. So yeah, we are almost in February now. It's 2020. It's an election year, and there's all this conglomeration that's probably about to happen in the media. Three has sold its TV studios, but MediaWorks has not sold the channel yet. Yeah,
right.
So this is like a common thing when you're restructuring your finance and you need to get some cash quickly. They sold the studios, and then whoever the buyer is renting it back to them. So they basically just freed up a little bit of cash. Liquidated an asset.
Hey, so just I had a question. For you, hopefully you'll be able to answer it because I haven't prepared you.
Go on.
But with the,
on the spot.
With the TVNZ, is that like a normal merger would be?
No.
Didn't the Herald and Stuff plan to merge for a bit?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
It's so different, hey?
It is different because they're both public entities, so the rules are a little bit different and in some ways kind of simpler.
Right.
So the situation at the moment is that NZME is trying to buy Stuff. They had a crack at it before and it didn't work because the Commerce Commission, who's the government entity that looks after the business bit of New Zealand, went, that's going to be too harmful to competition in the marketplace for the media here.
Monopoly.
There won't be enough different voices in the space. So what has happened now is NZME have made certain promises that they will keep distinctly different newsrooms, and they've got certain guarantees that will go along with the sale. Winston Peters has announced that he supports that move. That's what the KiwiShare agreement is talking about, if ever you see that come up in the news. So now they have to decide whether or not they want to go back and make an offer and go back to the Commerce Commission and try and lobby them to green light the sale.
Right.
So that would mean that NZME would then own Stuff.
Heck.
Yeah.
Big heck.
Which they tried to do before.
Whilst we're still looking at TVNZ and RNZ potentially.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also Three being for sale.
Yeah.
What is media anyway? I mean, like... Pfft.
feel like I'm really now, after how many segments, starting to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of tricky. And it's everything's been in quite a holding pattern and still is. For a couple of months now. So it'll be an interesting thing to watch. But also, just in the interest of talking about something that's happening, I did a bit of research on name suppression laws. You guys want to hear about that?
I would be fascinated. I think it's a...
I'm scared that it's on edge. Don't say anything.
I'm not going to breach it.
Don't breach it.
I couldn't if I wanted to. I don't have any special knowledge or anything, unfortunately.
Okay, good. Thank God.
It's one of those things that comes up quite often periodically.
Yeah,
there's like little reviews from the Law Society, or people just get up in arms about the name suppression laws in New Zealand. It's in the news at the moment. There's a few cases that have name suppression. There always is. But there's a guy who broke the name suppression order in the Grace Mullane murder case. He's a 63-year-old businessman. And so he basically went out publicly and said who the defendant was, who the accused was. And he's been charged by police, but he himself has name suppression for that case.
That's meta.
Which, it's sort of like if you take each thing individually, it makes sense. Yeah. But on the whole, it just seems super ridiculous.
But I guess that maybe the logic behind that could be that if you know what his name is, then you can find out what the other person's name is fairly easily, because we live in a very Googleable age.
It's not necessarily that, because I think he only found out because Google actually themselves breached
it,
the name suppression. Yeah. So what happens is name suppression laws can only be upheld in New Zealand, but internationally, because she was a British backpacker, the British tabloids published the accused name because they managed to figure it out online. Mm. So they put it out. Google then sort of, you know, they just suck in news services and blast that out.
Yeah.
They sent that in an email, which broke the law. They did it twice.
Do they get charged for something like that?
They got a slap on the wrist, but I don't think they faced many consequences. And they took some action to pull it.
Isn't there a weird thing as well with... it not being valid overseas or internationally, so like Google wouldn't necessarily be breaking the law.
Mm. It's more that it's not like they were outwardly flouting the law. Google did do it by accident, but it's because they're idiots.
Yeah.
Well, they don't care about this stuff, but we have no legal recourse to be able to prosecute an international entity because our jurisdiction doesn't go that far.
Because then Grant Robertson came out and said, would it? All international media, please just respect that we've got this.
That's almost all we can do.
Yeah.
Because it's not a law that can be prosecuted using extradition laws, and that's the only case
we're going to extradite Google.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But did you know that, like, so most of our laws we got from Britain, we inherited them, but we made this one up all by ourselves in 1920.
Actually? Oh, sick.
And the first ever people who got name suppression were a mother and daughter who stole a hat in Christchurch.
Hey, rock on. That seems like a fun crime? Mark?
Wait,
I don't know. Stealing a hat sounds kind of ridiculous.
Oh, it's probably not great for the person whose hat was stolen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they did it twice as well. This mother and daughter duo.
Watch out, it's no good.
And it's had a lot of changes over the years and the decades while it's been around how it's been used. Briefly, for about a year in 1975, it was the case that until you were convicted, you had name suppression. Which in some ways makes sense, you know. But then they took that away because there was a Labour MP called Gerald O'Brien, who in 1975 got accused of molesting kids.
Oh, God.
He was found, I think his charges got acquitted, actually. But the national government came in after him because they all kind of wanted to say who it was.
Yeah, okay, right. And they were like, quick, get rid of this law.
Exactly. It was the Muldoon government. They were like, let's go the other way with it. So
classic Muldoon government.
Exactly.
As we're rounding up the segment, someone's come through with a question for you. Can you ask Tim what his favourite bat is?
Cricket bats are cool. They're just a cool shape. You know?
They are a good shape. A classic shape.
Nice. Have you been asked that question before?
Never in my life. Oh. I do like a baseball bat because of its kind of... There's a symmetry to it.
Metal,
it's got cultural
wooden?
Clout as well.
Metal.
Excuse the pun there.
Yeah.
Cultural clout.
Nice.
I don't know.
Hey, listener.
I'll leave you on this. Anyone know what the penalty is? The maximum penalty for breaking name suppression?
Nah. What is it?
25 grand. Or 6 months in jail if you're a person, and 100 grand if you're an organisation.
Ooh, I thought you were just going to say 100 bucks. I was like, that seems a bit cheap.
It was 100 pounds when it first came out in 1920.
Keeping it round.
There you go. If you're ever in a pub quiz and you need to know something about the name suppression law history of New Zealand.
Tim's got you sussed.
I certainly do.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Tim Media Cricket Bat.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat. Only on 95 BFM.